You guys, oh my God, we got to get the knobs in the right place. We got to get all of our knobs in the right place, you guys, because you know what, guys? It is time for Video Games Hot Dog.
Woo!
Hey, I'm Zach.
Hey, I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And we're here to give you guys some Video Games Hot Dog. What have you guys been up to since the last time we recorded a Video Games Hot Dog? It seems like it has been both no time at all and a long, long time at all.
I've been trying to talk to the IRS.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I bet that's exciting.
It's like a video game where you hit a bunch of buttons and then you get a recorded message and then nothing ever happens.
I've been trying to be a more active manager of my employees.
Yeah?
And yelling at them and stuff.
How's that been working?
Mostly I just yell at them in my imagination.
How's that? Have your imaginary employees been performing better?
Yeah, up to snuff, buddy.
Are they sniffing snuff on the job?
That's okay. I'd rather have that than them taking cigarette breaks.
You think?
Yeah. You can just do some snuff right at your desk. Yeah.
Well, couldn't you also smoke at your desk?
Sure. So,
I mean, like, if you're just willing to have a smoke-friendly workplace.
Yeah, somebody would sue us, though.
It's a little surprising to me that you aren't willing to have a smoke-friendly workplace.
Somebody would. It's gross to smoke inside.
Yeah.
You felt that way even when you were a smoker?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
When I always discovered that if I permitted myself to smoke inside, I smoked way too much.
Like 40 times as many cigarettes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
200 packs a day.
What if
when I could smoke inside a 200 pack a day.
What if you lived somewhere that it was just blissfully awesome to be outside?
That'd be cool. What if your house was outside? Like if you, let's say you lived in a place where there was a tornado that ripped the roof off of your house.
Yeah.
That'd be great. That's where I would smoke. It'd be hard to play video games with the sun beating down. Speaking of video games, you guys been playing any video games?
I've mainly been playing Minecraft.
Yeah? What have you been doing on the Minecraft?
I've been building a massive subway running from my little island off in the coast of nowhere to where everyone else is playing.
Jesus. I hate when I'm about to try to make a joke and the joke is made 10 seconds earlier by someone who's much faster and funnier than me.
So you hate the fact that you're slow at jokes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was trying to give him a chance to finish his sentence.
Yeah, that's your first mistake. Yeah. That's the secret of comedy, always interrupt.
Timing!
Also timing.
Yeah.
The secret of good audio recording is don't do that.
Sorry.
So yeah, it seems like everybody on our little community server got real enthusiastic about playing Minecraft again. There for a while, every time I logged in, I was the only person on there and I was like, oh, my castle is lonely.
I think the new
update.
Yeah, the pets and the weather have brought a lot of people back.
Because now you have something to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
And something that loves you. I haven't messed with any horses. I mean,
there's horses now?
No. The wolves.
Oh.
Yeah, I was just
the wolves are pretty cool, actually.
Are they?
Well,
it seems like they'd just be annoying and get in your way.
They do.
You can tell them to sit and they'll stay there until you come back.
I like having a little herd of them all sitting and waiting for you. But the problem is like they don't always end up staying where you left them because other creatures will spawn and push them around.
Yeah, they kind of drift because of I have a kennel in my basement. Where I leave them.
Oh, inside.
And, yeah. But I have grass down there because originally the idea was it would be somewhere that sheep could spawn so that I could get wool. Because the surface area of my stuff does not have a lot of grass on it. But I now use it as just a place to offload all these dogs. And then when one dies, I go back there and put a flower and then grab another dog.
That's like, cute.
Congratulations,
and sad.
Dog. You've been promoted.
So you keep one with you as you wander around the world?
Generally, unless I'm building something complicated and it's getting in the way too much. Yeah.
I feel like I've been too nervous about taking one with me exploring caves and stuff like that because I feel like they'll just fall in the lava and die.
They are not very good about lava.
Yeah. You're afraid they'll pick up a phone booth and die if you get them too near a phone
booth? They're handy, though, for things like if there's a skeleton sniping at you from around a corner, the wolf will just go and kill it instead of you having to hover there back and forth around the corner trying to kill it
yourself.
Oh, that
does sound nice, actually.
Yeah.
That sounds really
good.
And
if there's a creeper, it will go.
They won't attack creepers.
You know, it seems like it would be easier to just play Minecraft but occasionally take breaks to play Nintendogs. That's what I would do.
I feel like I've been remiss in trying to finish the Chain World stuff. I need to go back and tackle that.
You gotta wait. You should wait until there are maps.
Of Oh, in the game.
Working on that map
yeah.
item. That's some crazy looking
Yeah, that's
shit.
The problem, right? Like, if I...
Yeah, the longer you wait, yeah. the cooler it is when
the
you
cooler,
come back.
Yeah.
What else have you been playing, Riff? Anything? You played the Portal 2 co-op stuff. Since
yeah,
last
I played
time,
some of
you?
That.
Is that fun?
3/5 of that. Yeah, it's
is
pretty
it hard?
Good.
Is it confusing?
It's doable.
Did
I mean,
you get in a lot
we
of
got through
with
it all
without. Because of it?
No, it wasn't too bad. Once we got used to.
You played it with somebody who was in the same room.
Well, she was in the other room. We
but
had
you within
shout
earshot.
A little bit. Yeah.
So, but I mean, how important was that?
It would be very difficult to do it without some sort of voice. So either being in the same place or having mics on your headsets is probably a necessity.
Because they...
It is theoretically possible to do it without that, but I feel like it would be very difficult.
They have built-in chat in the game, right?
Well, no, they don't have built-in chat, but they have...
What do you mean they don't? Like, there's an option to turn on the microphone and...
Oh, voice chat. Yeah. I thought you were talking about text chat. Yeah, they have voice chat. But if you don't have mics and want to play entirely with... Because there's things like... there's a little menu, like if you hold down the F key while you're looking at something, it pops up a little menu of things like look at this or a 3-2-1 go timer and things like that. So you can kind of like you can pop up a thing that indicates shoot a portal here now.
And it will point at something in the world.
And the other guy will be able to see that pointer standing there. But you would not be able to explain what you're thinking. Like, you wouldn't be able to say, oh, I get it.
Can you really ever explain what you're thinking to anybody?
Well, that's part of the trick, because it took us a couple levels before we learned how you need to talk about the puzzle to the other player to be able to get them to know what you're talking
about.
Is
it a similar sort of very slow ramp up in terms of difficulty on the co-op stuff? Because, like...
It seems like a little bit, but it's
so much greater.
It's not as much of a run up as the single player is, because I figure they anticipate that you've already played through the single player, and so you know how most of this works. So
narratively, the co-op definitely comes after the single player. No spoilers. Also, but, no homo.
Most of the lead up areas in the co-op are specific to cooperative concepts, like that one of the first rooms,
like sex.
One of the first rooms involves
living together and sharing groceries.
Yeah. Well, one of the first rooms involves the one player having to pick up a block and hold it up so the other player can grab it through a window, for example. And so it teaches you the cooperative concepts.
Okay, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
I'm curious. I kind of want to try to play it without voice chat.
Really?
Well, because I think it's going to be you and me playing it, and I think we're going to be across. We're going to be across
a great divide.
County lines.
Same county.
Yeah. Well, because we're both going to have committed a crime, and then we'll have to trade places so that we'll both be outside the jurisdiction of the law enforcement officers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
They can't just arrest us
for each other's crimes.
For each other's crimes,
like the Corsican brothers. They could punish each other. They could punish us for each other's crimes if we were the Corsican brothers.
They could swap your faces.
Ooh,
and
like face off.
Yeah.
They could.
They've apparently actually done that in real life now. They've done a face transplant.
I did hear about that.
Yeah.
Apparently, the person didn't look anything like the original person afterwards, though, because the bone structure is so much more.
Oh yeah.
Of how.
But that was the conceit of Face Off, is that they had identical bone structures.
Was it?
I don't know.
I don't remember that.
And identical
at all.
Penises.
God, that was that movie made me so mad. Didn't they like switch back and forth like six times?
They did it several times. It was awesome.
I can eat a peach.
It was not
for
awesome.
Hours.
It was a good movie.
That was a good movie. That's one of my favorite Nicolas Cage movies.
I hated it so much.
Oh, it's terrible, but it's awesome.
You know what? The only thing that could have been better if it had been Nicolas Cage and Matthew Lillard switching faces.
I'm not very... Who's Matthew Lillard?
He's the star of that song by...
Yeah, that Rihanna song. He was Shaggy in the new Scooby-Doo movies. He was in Scream. He was serial killer in Hackers.
Wow.
He was the main character in SLC Punk.
Oh, him.
You know,
okay.
He's Matthew Lillard.
SLC Punk was the one I needed to hear.
Yeah. Kevin, you've just started playing I played the entirety of the single player of Portal 2 between the last show and this show, and you've started playing it.
I'm on chapter 4.
And you're getting very angry at the points where it won't let you jump off of things.
Okay, so I think my problem stems at least in part from the fact that you said there's some secret stuff in the game. And I was like, ooh, secret stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So from the very first moment, I have been like, you know, trying to jump places that I shouldn't be able to, or like trying to, you know, do things that I'm not supposed to be able to do. And like at every step I've been thwarted. And then like, I just got to a point where I could like jump over something that I didn't think I was supposed to be able to jump on. And it immediately, like you just lose and it restarts the game. And I'm
as far as I know, none of the secrets are hidden in like areas that are at all time sensitive.
Yeah, but this isn't also time sensitive. It's
none
just,
of them,
it's just
none of them
urgent
require
music
you to
playing.
Do anything tricky.
Yeah,
none of them
they're
require
not like
you
mountain
to
climbing
like
stuff.
Yeah,
the secrets that I'm familiar of, there's one that you'll see just by walking around. There's one that you might not notice, but you don't have to like do anything weird to escape the geometry to get
there.
There was
a thing where
and then
you had
there's
to,
one where you just have to explore very carefully.
There was one where you had to blow open a grating with a laser that you wouldn't have necessarily
done. Yeah, but you didn't have to go somewhere that you weren't supposed to go to do it. So I didn't know about that one until I watched a YouTube video of it. You just found it.
Yeah.
But it's you don't have to do anything difficult.
Yeah,
to
you
do
don't
that.
Have to do any.
It just has to occur to you.
Like
it just has to occur to you.
But jumping over jumping over
a
grating is not difficult.
But you never have to do it in the course of gameplay.
But how do you know that as a player? Right? Like, I guess that is
my
frustration.
How do I know
it?
As a guy who played it, I know it from my memories. I access my memory banks.
But you didn't necessarily find everything, right? Like, this is my point. Like, there are a ton of invisible walls that you can't jump through or over or whatever. And so when there are places that they don't have those, I get kind of excited, and then I get disappointed when they just, like, the way that they deal with it, instead of letting you wander around in their world, is just immediately restart the game.
Yeah, Valve is terrible at games.
No, they're great. You know, the game so far has been awesome. Like, the writing is phenomenal. The puzzles are cool.
It is so difficult to watch you play it.
Because I just spend
just
all of my
poke around. You poke around at every corner. It was like playing Might and Magic 1 with my dad. Once he discovered that some of the walls were fake and you could walk through,
yes, shit,
he fucking
right?
walked into
oh,
every
shit.
Single wall for the entire rest of the game. It was like, oh my god.
Right, but like, so this is something that I'm, as a designer, I love putting hidden shit in games. As a player, I'm finding it very frustrating to try and find hidden shit in games, and like,
you want a clue that there's something there, right?
No, I don't even know. I don't quite know what my problem is, because I don't necessarily want to be clued, but like I have been the opposite of rewarded for all of the exploration that I've done so far, right? I've been very sort of.
You would say you've
thwarted.
Been punished,
I guess,
because I think that's the opposite of reward.
Maybe it's. I mean, because you're used to, for example, exploring and looking for hidden shit in World of Warcraft, which involves
jumping in through the geometry in ways you're not supposed to be able to.
Right.
Sure.
And I think that is a testament to sort of, I'm not going to say mistakes or like poorly constructed geometry, but compromises that were made so that this would look cool. And so they wouldn't have to define invisible walls everywhere that they don't want you to go.
Right.
Right? That makes it so if you're really dedicated, you can spend a bunch of time and figure out a way to tricky jump over some shit that you're not supposed to jump over. And I mean, it's like...
It was really rewarding when you found areas... I mean, it was really rewarding for me as a player to find areas that were unimplemented or, like...
Just these giant expanses with cocks and balls carved into them. In grass.
You know, exploring, like, getting exploration credit for places that didn't even exist in game, right? Mm-hmm. Like there was the...
Getting that mark on your account that says for them to disable you. Yes.
Sure. I mean, but so, like, you know, you could get to the top of Mount Hyjal before that was even a place.
Yeah, I've been to the top of Mount Hyjal, buddy.
You've been to the top of Mount Hyjal now, mm-hmm. but...
I flew there.
Yeah, well, that's cool for you.
Yeah, I bet you wish you played World of Warcraft. There was a new World of Warcraft patch yesterday.
Yeah?
Yeah. They've taken some more of that troll bullshit and opened it up at the level cap.
Okay.
They've, like, redone Zul'Aman and Zul'Gurub as high-level things, which, fuck trolls, man.
I don't understand why you enjoy killing skeletons so much and you hate killing trolls so much.
I don't, like, you know, the World of Warcraft's treatment of trolls is very racist. And that's why I don't like killing them.
I don't think that's true.
I'm very nervous about killing minorities in real life. I don't enjoy it. Yeah, I'm like, oh man, I gotta be careful not to do that, because who knows what, you know, what would people think?
Whereas you indiscriminately will kill anyone who's in the majority.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like skeletons.
Yeah,
everyone has one.
Has a skeleton. Yeah. Yeah.
You've got a ton in your closet.
Oh yeah.
So did you like? Shall I do a segue? Did you enjoy trying because of all the skeletons that you could kill?
Oh man, I mean, I'll get to that in a minute. Let's not segue into the assignment just yet.
Yeah, that's all I've been playing. That and some iPhone games, which I've already talked about.
More Dungeon Raid.
You know, it's,
I still pick it up every once in a while.
Yeah.
And you and your damn Helsing's fire.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you are like a Data in the holodeck with Helsing's Fire. You're like, I need these randomly generated things so that there will be something that is capable of challenging me in a puzzle game. So you love the bounty hunt. You love
the bounties are cool.
Because Helsing's Fire will just make up levels and then put them out there and see if anybody in the world can solve them.
You can also play through the entire game multiple times because it's procedurally generated. Every level is procedurally generated.
It just sets up. It sets up like
it has criteria.
This is how hard we want this level to be.
Yeah, huh. And I beat the game on its like absurdest level of difficulty, which was really, really hard. and now all I do are the bounties. So.
I'd be interested to.
I feel like it would be so much easier on the iPad too, because it's like so much on the phone is like pixel hunting to find the right.
I'd be interested to see their algorithms for how the levels are generated, and also an explanation of those algorithms, because I'm sure I couldn't just look at
the
code.
It is just done the same way that you write a puzzle, where you start with the solution and you just work backwards. So it's like, I'm going to put down some monsters and pick a point where I can kill all those monsters.
Right.
And then I will pick another point, and I'll put those layers.
Those monsters.
And I just think they just start from the back. Yeah. They just pick random points. They just sort of distribute a grid of stuff. And that's why some of them are super easy, and some of them you can solve in fewer tonics
How does it determine whether this is a very difficult level or not?
I would guess they would pick a range that is acceptable.
Yeah, they probably could do that. Like a size of region that is acceptable to do, and that just gets smaller. Maybe
This is going to make no sense for people who haven't played Helsing's Fire, but I'm not going to explain how it works.
Yeah, it's an interesting puzzle game.
It's about the shadow physics, basically. Like, it creates these 3D environments, and then you have to place these torches.
2D so environments.
Yeah, well, sure, but it's 3D.
Okay.
I mean, there wouldn't be shadows if it was 2D.
Well, there would be.
Yeah. You can have light sources in 2D and shadows in
2D. You wouldn't exist if it was really 2D.
I don't want to keep talking about this every week just because I keep playing it, but it's interesting. And it has held my interest for a long time. But I am sort of addicted to solving puzzles. Right. Like, somebody brings up a puzzle and I will sit there and, like, stare at it for hours if I think I'm...
Ooh, you should look at Boing Boing. There was a post about some weekly puzzle hunt thing.
Weekly puzzle
hunt?
Some
crazy. It's not even. It's like a weekly puzzle, and the way that you like get into this like puzzle solving society is by being the first person to solve the weekly puzzle 1 week.
God.
Yeah. So we know what you're doing Wednesdays at midnight from now on.
That sucks.
Yeah.
The thing is, I'm not nearly as good as most of the people who are like crazy serious about something.
Oh, you don't know. I think this is actually sponsored by the Special Olympics, so it might not be as hard as you think. You know, speaking of playing the same game every week and continuing to talk about it, I've still been playing and enjoying Rift.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm almost level 30 with my mage of a race that I don't care about because all the races are identical.
Huh.
Like,
Are they trying to make a statement?
Yeah, I think so. Everybody is the same. I picked them based on the fact that they get an ability that lets them run real fast every once in a while. And I think
every once in a while?
Yeah, it's like a sprint on a 5-minute cooldown or something.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes, okay. I can.
All right.
I always confuse that guy with Jared Fogle.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They look similar.
Okay.
The sprint guy and Jared Fogle, if they had a looking like that guy fight, it would be a tie.
Huh.
Yeah. So I'm still liking Rift. I'm liking the differences and the similarities between it and World of Warcraft. You know, there are things that I would, you know, there are things that could stand to be a little easier. There are things. The world environment is not nearly as cool. It is a lot higher poly count, and the trees are a lot more realistic and all that stuff, but it just looks like a place, kind of. Like, I finally have gotten to, like, this kind of Grand Canyon-looking zone, and there's more going on with the geometry there than just, like, you know, hills and mountains and stuff. I was thinking about that. Rift is really forgiving about letting you walk over mountains and stuff. I think they did not build it the same way that they built vanilla WoW, where... Like, there aren't a lot of, like, skyboxes and stuff, right? Like, the city is actually a city that exists. Like, they made it so I don't think you can fly, but you eventually will be able to fly, and it just looks like a world, and everything actually drops off to a coastline and stuff, and there's no, you know, there's no parts of it that you couldn't look at.
Part of it was the skybox thing, but part of it was also having separate regions that they could load and just for the client side processor stuff, because you know, sometimes you could get below the geometry and you'd see the sort of like substructure of what they'd built in
if you snuck into Orgrimmar not through the front gate,
right,
there would just be this like sort of blank Orgrimmar because nothing was actually in there,
which is kind of interesting, right?
Yeah. Yep, that is kind of interesting. Well, let's take a little break and then go to the assignment. Unless either of you guys have something else you'd like to talk about.
Yep.
Come on, guys. Nothing? You haven't been playing anything else? Even if it's like,
nope.
You know, something embarrassing, maybe like Pokemon Strip Poker or some Strip Pokemon.
That's Pokemon disgusting. Strip Poker.
Would they just peel their fur off?
No, you Pokemon fight with other trainers, and then the trainers have to take their clothes off.
I was thinking you were playing poker against Pokemon.
No.
And then they have to strip.
Yeah, that was really gross. I was thinking that as well.
They don't have clothes. Pokemon don't wear clothes.
Well, yeah, that was why I was confused.
I mean, I guess some of them do, like, Shirtle.
Pantsagon.
I can't think of the names of any more Pokemons. I only know Squirtle and...
Pantasaur.
sure. I mean, I could just make some up. Barabon. I don't know.
Pikachalupas.
That's yes, because chalupas are commonly worn garment in the Spain.
Yeah. It's like pantaloons and chalupas.
And chalupas, yeah. Hey, Kevin, speaking of things that aren't video games.
Yeah, I found out yesterday, that Cheap Ass Games has come back after like a 10-year hiatus or something like that. And for people who don't know what that is, they made kind of awesome, very inexpensive games that would come in like plastic bags. Like the packaging and the materials were like really cheap, but the games were very different and pretty fun.
The idea was that they'd give you like the deck of cards or the board that you needed, and then you'd supply your own tokens and dice and stuff.
Yeah. And so they like some of their games, like other, like they've made into real sort of nicely polished packaged products, like Kill Dr. Lucky. There's like a really nice version of that or whatever.
Oh yeah, I played that recently.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a fun game. It's like Clue in reverse, where you're trying to kill the person, but you have to get alone with them and stuff like that. And then they had like a cool card game that was very very simple, very short, called Falling. I don't know.
I did not like that game.
I thought it was pretty neat. And the thematically it was cool. Like they've got a bunch of cool thematically stuff. Anyway, they've changed their model. They now are just publishing PDFs of all the game materials and rules, you print them out and assemble the boards or the cards or whatever. They've got like tips on how to do that well. And then it's all free, and then you just give them money if you want to. It's like donation.
So I don't think that they're back with a new model. I think they just are still out of business. They're still not making any money, but now they're giving away all of their stuff.
They're republishing the games and improving them and potentially going to make new games.
Okay, so, but they're not like back in business. I mean, you could say, oh yeah, so the cheap ass guys.
I didn't say back in business. I said back, right?
Like, okay.
It's you know, it's something. It's cool.
Sure.
There was a cool essay about how like they just released.
Oh yeah, Vato.
Dead.
A cool what, Vato?
Deadwood. Deadwood. They just released
Deadfoot.
Deadwood. Which was like a game. The theme of the game was you are an actor on a like Wild West movie studio, and
eating spaghetti from craft services.
Yeah. And
from Kraft macaroni and cheese services,
and then you are supposed to try to like make as much money as possible to whatever. And so they've the first version of the game, which came out like 10 years ago or 12 years ago or whatever, had a bunch of design flaws in it, and so they like revised it. And it was interesting reading sort of like what their thought process was. They posted a really kind of interesting essay about that.
Yeah, their idea where if you're having trouble coming up with an elegant way to make up for some. You know,
deficiency
in the way things will turn out, you're already fucked, that you need to go back and write that deficiency out of existence instead of trying to compensate for it.
Which, you know, I think that's something that we've done when we've designed some games sometimes, is we argue about stuff until we realize that we need to go back and come up with a simpler
start
solution.
Over. This is instead of coming up with an answer to this question, we just need to come up
ask
with a way
different
to not,
question.
Not be asking this question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, cheap ass games, everybody, available online at cheapassgames.com.
Yeah, I don't actually know where they are online.
Overthinkingit.com.
Google will know.
Google cheap ass games. You could also just look up on Wikipedia the founder, Jim Cheap. No, yeah. I'm sorry, Jarl Cheap. Yeah. Hey, so we had an assignment for this week, and that assignment was Trine. And, you know, me and Kevin held up our end of the bargain.
I played about a third of it before I got too bored and frustrated to really continue.
Well, I'm going
to
let you participate in about a third of this podcast, then. You can go now.
You should speak in such a way that you're only speaking every third word of what you would normally say while you're figuring that out.
No, don't try that. It's not going to be funny.
Yeah. But I got frustrated with the fact that it seems like a lot of the difficulty is because the jumping is difficult and not because the puzzles are difficult. And I'm just really terrible at platforming games, and they really frustrate me. So,
I did not have really much trouble with the jumping. I got frustrated by a couple of things, like what I saw as, you know, I guess fundamentally the physics is consistent, right? Because it's just a computer running a set of rules, but it feels very inconsistent when playing. Like you get swinging on something on the grappling hook, and you know, one time you'll be able to just very easily jump over on and land on top of something, and a second time when you think you're basically doing the same thing, it doesn't react at all. It doesn't feel like it reacts at all the same way.
I also got really frustrated with the impreciseness of the mage's object creation, like having to try like six or eight times to get a bridge that didn't fall into this gap, and wasting all your energy doing it and things like that.
You know what I realized playing? I never once paid any attention at all to how much energy I had left. Huh. Like, there was just enough to do everything that I wanted to do all the time, to the point where it was, like, effectively not a resource that I managed.
Wow. No, I definitely had... Well, I don't know that I managed it, but I was definitely using energy a lot.
You spent a tremendous... You got 100% of everything from every level, which after hearing the screaming and yelling and cursing coming from your office and coming in and handing you the keys from your keyboard that had flown out into the hallway...
They didn't make it out to the hallway.
I was like, you know what?
I ordered a new keyboard today.
Fuck 100%.
So that is something I have
tried. Available on Steam for $9.99 plus the cost of a new keyboard.
So in the first level, I had to restart the entire level because a potion got caught in a giant gear wheel, and the gear that you had to travel on top of the gear wheel to get to the little hidden chest or whatever, and you couldn't get there because the potion fell into the gear and it just locked up. And the only way to get there, restart the level.
Wow, huh?
Yeah,
that's interesting. That
the physics engine is so good.
Worked for real.
That's... Yeah, there's a lot of puzzles later on that require you to stop gears from running by pushing objects into them or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think what was frustrating you was that a lot of the puzzles were sort of a result of the physics engine rather than having been designed as puzzles.
It was frustrating to me because I saw the appeal of having a physics engine where you could sort of, you know, get interesting novel solutions to stuff that you wouldn't necessarily expect because of the way the physics works. But I also kind of just wanted it to be a game that was just designed in such a way that there were two or three solutions to every problem, and it was just much more discreet. Like, you know, you could just click a button and a box would appear. You could like jump on top of it and it was easy. Like, you know, like a Mario Brothers style platforming game where you had actions and
so,
stuff.
So, I mean, I think this came up. I was thinking a lot about Braid while I was playing Portal 2. And one of the things that I think people don't really think about Braid is he was extremely careful to make it so you never had to do anything that was real tricky, right? The tricky bit was figuring out what to do. The actual execution of it was always straightforward.
Except for the stars.
Well, sure. Those notwithstanding.
Okay.
Right. But Portal 2, very much the same way. Like, you never, even way less so than Portal 1. Like, in Portal 1, I feel like there were a ton of times when I remember having to, like, be hurtling through midair and then fire two portals before I landed. And you basically never have to do that in Portal 2. There's, like, maybe two or three times in the entire single-player campaign where you have to fire a portal in midair. And they are both, or all three, in places where you are in a loop. You don't have to, like, reset. Yeah. But you're just like falling and then shooting back out of another one, then falling and shooting back out of the same one, and like you have all of this time to.
I was gonna wonder because
to line up the shot. It never makes you do anything that is hard, and Trine fucking does all the time. Like it.
I don't know that that's true. Like I didn't really. I think that there was there's probably an easy solution to almost every problem in there.
You think?
Like, yeah, because I mean,
I think a lot of it requires tricky grappling game.
But you pointed out like so. I think this is, you know, something that I thought was interesting about it was you saying the way that you defeated a particular puzzle, like trying to get potions off of these platforms which are above you. Like I never even thought of this. I would always just sort of grappling hook on top of them, which I got pretty good at, and just wasn't. I didn't find that very hard to do.
Because you can grappling onto something and then swing around it and jump up on top of it.
Yeah, I also was doing that, but I was terrible at it.
Yeah, it's
it
hard. Extremely I mean, that, it's that's hard. What I'm saying. Like, I think that.
But you pointed out that there is a much simpler, much more elegant solution to that problem.
Right, you can make the wizard make a box
and then just
and then
knock
telekinesis
the, potion
the box up and knock the potion off down to where you are. Yeah. Like, you can almost always you can almost always get them that way.
Except for when there's chests up there, so you have to get
sure,
up there.
Sure, yeah, some of them you have to get. Yeah.
Right, but so like that's, you know, like so like I think it is possible. There's all kinds of places where you were like doing all kinds of tricky, complicated stuff, and I was like, the way that I beat this is just I made a stack of blocks and jumped on top of them and then just jumped over what you were doing. Like it was like it's just you can make things really trivial by, you know, having the wizard create a bunch of stuff and then jump on top of them and then jump over the problem. Yeah, you know?
I think that you wanting a more designed experience there makes it so you want a game where you can't really do that. Right?
But because that's the conflict
trivial
I have.
To work around
that's the conflict that I have in my mind. Like, I think it's interesting that I could defeat a lot of stuff by just making a tower of blocks to climb over it.
The game is super, super pretty.
Yeah.
It is visually really appealing, and I normally don't care about that at all. It kind of bothers me that sometimes it is so pretty that you just can't tell which the fuck is a thing you can stand on and which is a background element.
I did at one point die because there was a giant spiky ball standing in a shadow that made it almost indistinguishable from the background.
Yeah, I turned the brightness way up. A lot of times I would just be running and be like, wait, why am I not running forward? And then there was just a fucking skeleton in front of me that I just had not seen.
Wow.
Like, I feel like it was so difficult for me to, like, pay attention to what was going on because of the level of detail.
Huh. The fact that for one level, crystals are dangerous spikes that hurt you was really kind of annoying.
Not all of them. A lot of the times, you know, there were some front of you or behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then one of the things that caused me to like just pound my fists into my keyboard was trying to get 100% completion. There were two places where one of them, I think it probably was not put there, but I think one of them, it was actually just put there. One of the experience potions is just at the bottom of a pool of lava, which you cannot see. I went through the level three times and I was like, I have been so thorough. What the hell is going on? And I accidentally found it because I was moving a thing. Like when the wizard creates an object, it burns up in the lava, so you can't use that. I was moving one of the like indestructible blocks through the lava and I heard the sound of the potion falling over. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? How are you supposed to know this is there? Right? Like, if it is just the case that you're supposed to be moving blocks in the
maybe
lava,
you're not supposed to know it's there. You're supposed to not be playing for 100% completion, yeah. You nerd.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the way that I play games, right? Like, it's my one weakness.
Fucking skeletons, man. I like killing skeletons. I like killing skeletons, but in this game, I was not angry at the skeletons. I was angry at the developers for.
You were angry at the developer's skeletons?
Yes. The number of times that I would be like, all right, how do I... Fuck! I'm surrounded by skeletons! When I'm trying to, like, enjoy the level, I'm trying to plan how I'm going to approach this puzzle or whatever.
You didn't hear them spawn, or...?
I sometimes hear them spawn. Like I said, though, a lot of the times I'd just be running forward and be like, oh, all right, I'm just getting hit by a skeleton that I was just trying to walk through.
The bats pissed me off more than the skeletons because they were much, much harder to kill.
The spiders are annoying, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you know where they are, though, they're always...
You said you felt like the boss fights were really tacked on.
So I think...
I don't really count them. I don't think those are really boss fights.
Mini bosses. Yeah, but so like two or three places in the game, they're like large enemies that they like lock you in a room with and you have to kill. But like the giant skeleton, you just like stand underneath him. He can't hit you. You can't hit him.
Mm-hmm.
And like you can just sit there you could just leave the game alone for an hour and nothing would happen because he's trying to swing at you. He can't hit you. You're underneath his legs. You can't hit him unless you jump. But if you jump, you can't hit him. It just seemed like broken to me. And I'm like, I don't understand what they were going for with those at all.
I mean, I liked killing a big skeleton.
Sure.
I didn't like them in general because I feel like they were just the fact that they would just respawn an arbitrary number of skeletons. It was just slowing you down. It was just creating this sort of artificial difficulty. It was like they weren't hard to beat. You just had to be careful,
yeah,
or you were going to get killed. And it's like, God damn it, all I want to do is move forward. This game has taught me that I want to move forward and I want to find potions and I want to open chests and I want to solve puzzles and I want to jump over shit.
But you also got experience from
some of them.
It
was really inconsistent. That was the other thing. If there had been a tangible benefit to killing every single skeleton, I would not have minded killing so many skeletons. Mm-hmm. Right, but it's not
from I looked at a walkthrough earlier today to see how much of the game I had completed, and it looks like there is a certain amount of killing dudes XP that you get per level.
There is, yeah.
It tells you.
Oh, does it tell you?
When you pause, it tells you
in the inventory screen, the level select. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Inventory screen.
So is it just the first X
it isn't
kill?
Though no
yeah,
it's
like
some
like,
of it's some, yeah. Of
some of them I think, and it's specific ones or something. I was also pretty annoyed by some of the bugs. Like there was one,
yeah, like the spiders,
one of the mini boss, one of the mini bosses I was on a level I had to go through two or three times because of some missing potion that I couldn't find somewhere, and the third time I went through the level he spawned and just didn't do anything. He just stayed there and he couldn't hurt me, I couldn't hurt him. But after a while, the gates just opened and I just jumped over him. And I was like, that's weird. You know, just like little things like that were kind of strange and frustrating.
It is weird that when you get killed, it leaves the level the way that it was before. If you like restore to a checkpoint, if you've got boxes out, it leaves them there and stuff. It's like
there was one level again that I had to start over because I had killed everything and I went back. From the front to the back, and then back from the front to the end, and then back to the front, and then back to the end, and there were no more enemies in there, but I had not gotten 100% of the enemy experience.
Every once in a while, when you kill a skeleton, it just flies up into the air.
Yeah,
It's pretty awesome.
For no reason.
Maybe he was just hanging out up there. Maybe he was in one of the ceilingless levels. You also were talking about how you were compelled on the levels with no ceiling to build towers as tall as you could.
Yeah, that was my fault, right? That's just me being neurotic.
All of this is your fault.
Yeah. It's all, yeah. But it was frustrating to me that as you got more abilities, so you got to a point where you could make 7 blocks as the wizard and like 6 platforms, right? So that's a lot of stuff.
So as you're going to St. Ives.
Yeah. And there were 7 cats and 7 hats and 7 ladies and purses. I don't remember what they were of. Yeah. But you could build a tower of 7 blocks that you could jump up on top of and then look around, and the game still kept letting you go higher and higher. And there was nothing over there. And then there were occasionally ends of the worlds that you could jump up on stuff, but then it just there were invisible walls and stuff.
So you didn't like the game because you're neurotic. Riff didn't like the game because he's lazy. I didn't like the game because the game sucks.
Yeah.
The game doesn't suck.
No, it was okay. So the game, I really like the idea of the game. There were a bunch of moments that were really cool. A bunch of the puzzles are kind of neat. I would not recommend anybody to bother trying to get 100% completion.
Yep. Find all the secrets. I wish I had found all the secrets.
Yeah.
I might go back and try and find all the secrets.
Some of them are hard to find.
Mm-hmm. Most of them, like a good man.
Yes.
Are some of them a good man?
A little
clay figurine of a man that you wear on your warrior's belt.
The irony is that finding all the secrets makes the game much easier because you get just these crazy powerful objects.
Are you sure you know what irony is?
Yeah. Well, if you're the kind of person that is finding all the secrets, I don't think you need them, is what I'm saying.
I see.
Whereas if you're just trying to play through the game casually and you're not finding all the stuff,
so it's
going to be that much harder.
So it's like you've sold your hair secrets to discover the magical comb.
Yes, exactly.
Well, cool. So next week's assignment, we discussed, we talked, we tried to figure it out. We're thinking the Infocom game, The Lurking Horror.
Yeah.
We're going to play. I've never played it.
I have played a little of it, but it was a long time ago and I never beat it.
Yeah, and I think I beat it, but it was so long ago that I don't remember.
You also might have just be confusing your memory of that with memories of actually experiencing elder gods on the campus of MIT.
That's entirely possible, yeah.
Encountering? No, you experienced them. You were you joined the club.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now they have a club at MIT that lets you have sex with elder gods.
Yeah. Then you get a cool tattoo and a curved dagger.
Can I see your tattoo?
No. Do you want to?
It would drive you insane.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you want to keep your sanity?
If I showed you, I would have to stab you with this curved dagger that I also have. And I have to carry it with me all the time, even when I'm at the beach. You always have, you get one of those pairs of flip-flops with a...
dagger in the toe?
Yeah. No, it's got a secret compartment in the bottom for whiskey in one, and then your ceremonial dagger.
Oh, no, St. Bernard in the second one.
Yes. Yep.
Platform sandals.
How do we get Lurking Horror? You can play it online.
If you just Google for it, there are places that you can play it online in Java apps. I personally was not able to get those apps to work on my computer, but Kevin was able to get them to work without a problem. If you can't get it to work, you can get it off sites like Home of the Underdogs.
Is it on Home of the Infocom games on Home of the Underdogs?
It is on Home of the Underdogs as a DOSBox version. There is also a...
Could you just get the Z Machine version of it somehow?
There is a Pirate Bay torrent with all of the Infocom Z Machine files.
We can't be talking
about... Don't do
that.
About torrents. It's vaporware. I mean, not
it's vaporware. Yeah, those games actually never came out.
It wouldn't be available for download. It wouldn't be available for download on Underdogs if it was not a genuinely abandonware. So I don't feel bad about telling people about a torrent. But the torrent version is the original Z Machine files, which you can get and then use a modern interactive fiction interpreter to play, such
as
Zoom
or
Spatterlight or Gargoyle.
If you do one of these options, be aware that there's sort of a little bit of copy protection at the very beginning of the game.
I have a link here for that. If you go to the Infocom Gallery, which is infocom.elsewhere.org/gallery, and then hit the option for the gray box releases, and then Lurking Horror is down near the end of the list. The cover art looks like a giant eye with a skull in it, and that'll give you scans of all the documents and feelies that came with the game, so that you'll have the map and the copy protection elements, and
including
stuff.
The creepy bug thing.
Yeah, there was like a rubber centipede or something.
Cool. Yeah. Is that what your tattoo looks like?
Maybe. We have questions.
Kevin says we have to do a segment that's not about video games in between the assignment section and the reader mail section. So I'm going to make Kevin come up with something else to talk about, because I don't know anything that isn't video games.
That's all. That's your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about hiking.
No.
We could talk about.
We went on a bike bar crawl.
Yeah, that was.
We
cool.
We rode a bike. We talked to a man. I described.
On Earth Day.
I described what we did for a living, and he was like, "Oh, like Mafia Wars," and I was just like, "Ugh." Oh, sorry. Fuck, no video games. Yeah, Earth Day. We drank beers.
Yep.
And we helped the Earth by riding bikes on it.
Yep. I got really, really drunk.
Good.
I don't know that that's good.
I got too drunk to play Rock Band.
What happened?
I don't know. I got mad because it was taking too long to play Rock Band.
Load.
And I got all huffy, and I threw my guitar down.
Wow.
Somebody
just
else's guitar.
Smash it like the, yeah. Like the Who.
Yeah. I've had it with this.
Yeah, that was actually pretty neat. There were like six other people.
Yeah.
On this
it was
pub crawl.
It was a small crawl.
But yeah, we met.
But nobody got arrested.
Yeah, that was. Apparently, that's a thing that happens out here in the great state of Arizona.
Yeah, they hassle you. They don't like mans on bikes.
Yeah. So cool.
Cool segment, guys. Hey guys, let's do some listener mail.
Sweet.
Are they actually sending us letters now?
Yeah.
The listeners.
Casey writes. I'm with you, Riff. I really love the feel of Final Fantasy VII. The atmosphere draws me in, and I love the heck out of the Materia system, but I cannot for the life of me play through the whole game. Yeah. I really hope it gets updated, because it's a game that I really want to play but can't. Speaking of Square games that hopefully get an update, have you played Chrono Cross? A version with Magus' story added back in would make me so happy.
I started to play it, but the weird, like, elemental field mechanic was too confusing to me, and I didn't get into it.
I had Chrono Cross for... Fuck. For some system.
Lunch?
No. Sandwiches.
Lunchbox.
No.
Lunchbox 360.
Chrono Cross is the sequel to Chrono Trigger?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I had Chrono Cross, and I was like, oh, I'm going to play Chrono Trigger first, and then I like couldn't finish Chrono Trigger.
Hmm.
I never did finish Chrono Trigger. I played it to the point where you get to the end boss, and then that's where the game starts. You know, like that's where you start doing all the timeline stuff, and I was like, eh.
You should play the whole thing. They've got it for DS.
I know. Yeah. You loaned me your copy. Has been sitting on my shelf for like a year.
Good.
It has a map, which that makes it a lot better to me. Mm-hmm. I played a little bit of Chrono Cross when I first I bought a PS1 at a. I didn't buy a PS1 until it was like $10 at a garage sale. You know, until Sony announced that all PS1s were now only available at garage sales for $10.
I had a PlayStation emulator for my MacBook or PowerBook or whatever it was called back in the day, and it would work on like a third or half of the games, but you'd actually just take the PlayStation disc and put it in your computer. And
that's
like,
pretty sweet.
Sometimes it would be able to run just fine.
Yeah.
And sometimes
your CD-ROM drive would catch on fire.
Yeah.
That was the interesting thing.
I think
about
that's.
Emulators.
I think that's. Yeah, I got. I think that's where I got Chrono Cross, right? Because it was a PlayStation game. Yes.
Yeah.
PlayStation 1. So I got Chrono Cross, the like game, and it would run. And I was like, oh, cool! I'll play through Chrono Trigger. So I think I played that in an emulator, mm-hmm. in a different emulator, because that was on what, Nintendo or something.
Super Nintendo.
Yeah. And so yeah, and then I just never finished that.
Super
whole
Nintendo
sequence.
Chalmers.
I still have that old laptop, though. I could probably still play it.
Jenny writes, this is where we send our video game dreams now, right? I had one the other night where my sister built a couple arcade cabinets on the cheap by running PC emulators on old Commodore 64s. To make it extra exciting, she had them implanted in the bodies of giant werewolves who were dressed as Mario and Luigi. As I ran away screaming, I saw one of them drop a Minecraft pork chop.
We saw a werewolf beer this evening.
Yeah,
the
there was
store.
A woman. It was like a woman's face in the left half and a werewolf in the right half.
Or just a wolf in the right half.
Okay, yeah. Okay, fine. Just a wolf.
The combination is what made it a werewolf.
Right. It wasn't like a were-werewolf or a were-werewoman.
What was the slogan?
It was like, if you really want to taste it all or something. It was
you know you want to taste it all.
No, it was...
You have to want to taste
you have
the
to
whole
want
thing.
To taste it.
You
something
have to
like
want to
that.
Taste
yeah.
it all.
It made no sense.
Yeah. It was in their foreign, like their beers from beyond the Iron Curtain section.
The terrible beer section.
It was like
the
Polish,
East European pilsners.
Russian and Czech.
Andy writes, "Hey guys, I had a couple questions. Take your pick from some, all or none. Do you feel like there's any potential for a new non-Blizzard MMO to dethrone World of Warcraft, or do you think WoW or Blizzard's new upcoming MMO will continue their iron grip on MMO players' ballsacks for the foreseeable future?" I don't think there's anything wrong with World of Warcraft occupying the spot that it isn't. I don't think that dethroning
I don't think that dethroning it
is a thing that anybody should be trying to do.
I think that there are plenty of other games that have developed, that have come out since World of Warcraft, that have developed loyal followings. They're just not as large, and that's fine, right? Because I think, you know, there's also, you know, this is only in the U.S., because I feel like there are a ton of MMOs in Asia that have are really well established that nobody knows here that have millions and millions of players.
You know why I don't like them?
Why don't
because,
you like them?
Because the Chinese men don't let you kill skeletons.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true. They don't. But, like, Eve... You know, like, I think they have, like, 300,000 or 400,000 players, although maybe that's dropped off.
You're talking about Adam and Eve, the adult novelty catalog.
Yeah. Which is, it's like a multiplayer game, right? Online.
Yeah, you roll those dice. All right, so you want me to nudge butt.
There's the teledildonics section. Mm-hmm. But, like, Eve Online, you know, 300,000, let's say, players, and that is a pretty vibrant community. They do their own thing. That's pretty... It's a cool
All
place.
All I ever do is talk about EVE Online on podcasts.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Did you do that recently?
Yeah, I came up on the Overthinking It podcast that I was a guest on.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. EVE Online. Where the world is the main character in the game story because the individual play experience for a user is super boring. Because
you're a ship, basically.
You're a ship in a spreadsheet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your ship's passing in the night. You're a ship passing a kidney stone.
In the night.
No, there's that asteroid belt that's made of kidney stones from Titans. Titans A.
Titans belt.
Yeah. Simpler question, says Andy. What games are you guys looking forward to in the near future? So he says, couple questions. Take your pick from some, all, or none. I guess that one, all, or none. Here's two. Take some of them.
there were two questions.
What games are you guys looking forward to in the near future?
The main one was Portal 2, but I guess Skyrim.
Skyrim, yeah.
What about that noir?
Oh yeah, game. LA Noir. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I could not give even a quarter of a shit about that game.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man, I love it.
I don't know.
It's adventure game. It's like a Rockstar doing a LucasArts adventure.
Yeah, I don't like those.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, you're all about men with fedoras
and crime scenes. Yep.
Yeah. Do you think you get to shine a UV light on a lamp looking for semen?
No,
this lamp got fucked.
That would be awesome, but it would be an anachronism. I really want to make a noir.
Are you trying to say
Zelda.
They didn't have UV light back in those days?
Well, they didn't have
black semen.
Light. Yes, they didn't have semen. They everyone just reproduced by budding.
Budding?
Butting?
No, but, you know.
Like where you nudge butts?
Yes. Had something to do with the hats, I think. I think the hats were part of the egg-laying process or something.
They rubbed their hats together and then turned the hat upside down.
And then once everyone stopped wearing hats, semen had to be
invented.
They had to invent
semen, Yeah, everybody just had those little fedora homunculuses.
Yeah.
Remember when you guys made fun of me for seeing the homunculus floating around during Comic-Con, but then I found out it was part of a street team marketing thing, and then then I wasn't crazy.
We thought you had lost your mind.
I was sitting in a good way. I was sitting out on the balcony smoking a cigar, and this little homunculus floated by. And I'm like, huh, that's definitely a real thing and not a hallucination. I kept looking at it, and I'm like, nope, it's still there.
But then you described it to us, and none of us could see it.
None of you. Well, no, you weren't there when it happened.
I know.
I described it, and none of you had been there, so you were like, "No, I didn't see that." So that clearly didn't happen. You're crazy.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that they were actually being released
into the top of some building
atmosphere. Yeah. And they were some sort of crazy weird thing that was
some sort of biodegradable
almost
foam.
The density of air because they would just float for a long time.
Yeah.
like they make those mattresses out of.
Yeah.
That Susan Sarandon tells us about. What I'm thinking of, I think, is Sally Struthers or...
Made out of African children?
Do
you,
yes.
I mean, are you suggesting...
Sleep every night on a mattress of African children.
Are you suggesting that the only people that can sell you things are people that their first and last name start with S?
Yeah. Like, you know, Sam Shepard.
Yep.
Oh.
He sells me...
That's like a new character class in that apocalyptic RPG.
They're all salesmen?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're the NPC vendors. We have this for those listeners who don't know about this game, which they're probably none of you. I think it's silly to think that anybody listens to this that did not come from our other podcast at this point. But
you might have got some from overthinking.
Yeah, sure.
Also, you're forgetting that like years from now, when we have millions of followers, they all have gone back and started listening to the beginning of the archives.
So anyway.
So you're just insulting the future here.
So there's this future.
Up yours, future.
Where's my jetpack? there's this, we're working on this post-apocalyptic pen and paper role-playing game where there's a cataclysm that the only people who survive are people whose initials are BB. Mm-hmm. And apparently SS, they're the stores. I mean, the Nazis survive to sell us,
supplies,
shower heads that don't actually do anything. And,
yeah,
lightning
and also
airplanes.
So and so that they survive unscathed, and then there are other people who survive but are hideously transformed.
Yeah, any celebrity who the first four letters of their last name is also the first four letters of a monster becomes that monster. Like Kim Basinger becomes a basilisk. Janine Garofalo becomes a Garou. I just thought of that one just now.
Is it four letters? Because I was. That means Liza Minnelli can't be a Minotaur.
A Minotaur.
Yeah.
Minotaur. She could be a minaret.
No, I mean,
Minnelli.
She could be a, yeah. She could be a mine...
car.
Yes, she's a mine car.
Yeah. So this is clearly going to be a hit with everyone, whoever wants to play.
Anyway, so we got to this from the African children mattresses, which, what are we, what games are we looking for?
The homunculus.
To? Yeah, Fedora's L.A. Noire. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was an excellent backtrack.
Yeah, so I am also looking forward to the Ocarina of Time remake on the 3DS.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm looking forward to the new Paper Mario game.
Yeah. I want them to open that eShop.
eShop?
Yeah.
For the DS.
The 3DS market.
Huh.
You just want to... throw more money in. You're like, Nintendo, well, please like, take all my dollars.
Didn't DSi have a shop?
Yeah.
And it's not the same shop?
It's going to have most of the same stuff, I think, depending on licensing issues.
Huh.
So that's part of it.
So somebody might have licensed their game to Nintendo, but fuck those Nintendo clowns.
This is something I should have brought up in that other segment where we weren't talking about video games, but did you guys hear about the PlayStation total meltdown?
Yeah. Thing? I got to go to my bank and see if I need to get my card given a new number.
Did you hear about this?
Mm-hmm.
That they got hacked, their network, they got hacked, and they might have released all of their users' credit card numbers into the wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like a bad situation.
Cool. That makes me glad I signed up for PSN.
Did you?
Yeah, I mean, at some point.
Did you pay them something?
Yeah.
So they had your credit card?
They did.
Wow, you're doomed.
I know. Fucked. My identity's already gone. There's somebody else.
Who am I?
Making podcasts.
Somebody is probably going to subscribe your Gmail account to a million different things now.
Yeah. I've been getting a lot of notifications about sexy senior citizens in my area.
Awesome.
Who want to meet me, apparently.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. Aiden writes, first of all, love the Load Dog cast. Keep up the good work. You guys were discussing Flash games on episode 3 of Video Games Hot Dog, and I wondered if you played a couple that I really enjoyed. He says, Don't Look Back, a 2D side-scroller based on the tale of Orpheus and Eurydice.
It's one of my
super
favorite.
Super fucking good.
It's one of my favorite Flash games.
Cursor 10, a weird single-player cooperative game
that's
good fun.
That's a good one. That's a classic.
For your clicking finger.
Yeah.
I've not played that one, actually.
You haven't?
No.
You would like it.
Is it like Transformice?
It is like the section of Braid where you run through it and then go back and you're running alongside the shadow of the previous version of you.
Okay.
Except there's 10.
Is it asynchronous
possibilities
or is it synchronous?
No, it's sequence. You go until you can't go anymore and then
maybe halfway you stop.
And then it's like you mouse over things and it opens gates and you click on things to like score points or whatever and you can so you're going for both completion and a high score, which you want to like put off clicking the thing so that you can click them on every future iteration. Like, it's just like, okay, so this is a game where in order to do it, to play it perfectly, you just have to play it hundreds of times and then learn exactly the right thing to do and then do it exactly right.
It was cool,
though. It's a neat game. And also, Flock Together, a game with great mood. I didn't love this game, but I really enjoyed the flying mechanic. Like, I really like the hand-holding, but the game itself was pretty meh. I've never played Flock Together.
Yeah, I think I have, and it was interesting. You collect birds, if I'm correct, and like as your flock gets bigger, it like gets harder to manage, but it's kind of interesting.
Oh.
If this is the one I'm thinking of, maybe that's a different game entirely.
I think I am actually also, I think I have played that.
You are also a flock of birds.
Yeah. What I was thinking
seagulls
was...
Seagulls, mostly.
Yeah, I played Grand Theft Auto Vice City and listened to Flock of Seagulls. Well, guys, I think that we might be about ready to be done with the video games hot dog, unless you've got anything else you want to talk about. Oh, wait, we didn't look at the forums. We didn't.
Or we could, we can save questions for later shoes.
Okay, let's save questions for later shows.
We've gone some hour-ish amount of time.
Yeah, we don't want people to get bored. We don't want people listening to our ugly mugs for too long.
People should write in to our various forms of communication.
Yeah, how do they get a hold of us?
List them.
VGHotDog@gmail.com. That's okay. VGHotDog@gmail.com. There's also VGHotDog on Twitter, where I occasionally post when I'm angry at a video game.
Cool.
I need to give you guys the credentials to it so that you guys can also post when you're angry about video games.
And I'm just worried that it's going to be a lot of things where I can't actually say what I want to say because I don't have all the keys on my keyboard.
Right, because you'll have punched your phone.
Yes. Not my phone.
That's a good thing. You can't punch individual keys off the keyboard on your phone.
I was tempted to buy an expensive keyboard this time so that I would be less likely to break it, but I think I would just be more likely to have wasted more money.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Well, why don't you just keep your old keyboard next to you so that you can you can turn around a little and punch it.
It is not a good thing to hit. It hurts my hands.
Flying
everywhere. It's just bad.
You should keep a dummy, like a mannequin, and a keyboard. And then when you get mad at the game, you should pick up the spare
keyboard.
Like
a Liza mannequin?
And just hit the...
What? I don't know. Eliza Manekin?
Yeah, Eliza Manekin.
Manekin.
Go ahead. And so what you should do is you should pick up the keyboard and just beat Liza Minnelli with it when you get angry.
I see.
Because it's her fault.
Right.
Somehow,
it all Liza, comes. It all comes back
this
to
is
her.
All your fault.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening to
the video. So we got the Twitter and the email.
Yeah, that's it.
Don't we have like a phone thing?
No.
Okay. we have a fax number.
Oh yeah, we do have a fax number now.
You could write us a letter to our PO box.
As our faithful listeners, you should tell us whether or not you want just pure video games content, video games and video games related content all the time, or if you enjoy getting a little brief glimpses of our lives.
Don't tell us anything. We don't care.
Jesus Christ.
I feel like will naturally end up once in a while talking about video game stuff. Naturally.
It's not going to happen unless we force it to happen.
Thanks for listening to Video Games Hot Dog. I was just kidding when I said that we don't care about you.
Have a great week, everybody.
See you later.